Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. The word of truth that you are about to hear is from Apostle Will T. Washington. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website at 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved under God, Yahweh, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
I'll say, like the apostles said on the Mount of Transfiguration, they said, Lord, it's good to be here. I don't know about you, but I feel blessed to be in the house of Yahweh. I couldn't be many other places, but I choose to be here in his house. And it's quite clear to me that many today who call themselves Christians does not know what that word implies. They have corrupted that word to the degree. Now that word is synonymous with hatred, bigotry, racism, and all the sexism and all the other things that you can think of. They have not valued the word of Yahweh, because the word of Yahweh is the only thing that we can hang our lives on. Yeshua said, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. And there will be only a few that will find it. So it actually implies that there are so many ways out here that we must seek what is the right way, what is the true way. The prophet says, stand in the way and ask, where is the good way? And say, you will hear a voice behind you. Say, there it is. Now walk in it. So our responsibility is to do just that. Preachers have used the church many times to become famous. Some of them have used the church to become rich. Some have made the church a circus on Sunday morning, a clown show. So therefore, the church has become anemic. And the church doesn't mean anything in the world today. If you have watched the news, the church don't mean anything. So-called Christians don't mean anything. They are put in the same pot with everybody else. And of course, they are in that same pot. But for me, I just want to teach the word. And as you can see, I haven't gotten rich, and I haven't gotten famous. I can go to the store and go anywhere I want to go. Nobody's going to bother me. Nobody recognizes me, and that's the way I like it. Because it's not me or you, it's him. And that's the way it ought to be. So last time I saw you, which was approximately 4 weeks ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, I said I would exegete the word, and I did. I exegeted Yohanan 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the word was not lesser or greater than Yahweh. He said the word with Yahweh in the English text, but the actual translation, the word was not lesser or greater than Yahweh, and the word was Yahweh. And so, what I want you to understand is that these men, the apostles who wrote this word, did not do it in a frivolous manner. That whatever is in this word, every word is important. Because Yahweh gave them the revelation first. So they had the pure revelation of the church of Yeshua. And they passed that revelation on to us through words that sometimes have been polluted. But yet, if we will go back and study the word, we will find the truth of the word. Amen. Now, I'm not going to make you happy today. And I'm not going to grab my ear and put on a clown show. And I'm not going to holler so loud that I think I can bring God down from heaven. You know, I've noticed that people think the louder they holler, the more sure they are that God heard them. Yahweh hears you, even in a whisper, because he's God. You don't have to holler God down, my brothers and sisters. You don't have to do that. He's here already, ready to perform as we need him. So last time I saw you, Pastor Tom is not here today. How many of you know why Pastor Tom is not here? Say that again. How many of you knew this was Pastor Tom's birthday? Not today, but on the 26th of this month, which was 4 days ago. And so he, and also it is his daughter's birthday. So they got two for one. Amen. So he decided that he would treat her. And of course, in doing that, he's treating himself also. And I'm just here to stand in for the pastor of the church. Thank you. Today we will exegete Ephesians, the third chapter. Now I'm just going to read. Scripture in Ephesians that I'm going to read is not part of what I am going to exegete today. How many of you know what exegete means? Exegete is a theological term meaning to explain. I'm going to explain the scripture to you today. This scripture. And I'm going to read to you first from Ephesians, the third chapter, the second verse. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of Yahweh, which is given me to you, Ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And then, and if you notice, that's parentheses. It starts with parentheses, and it says, as I wrote afore a few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Mashiach. But that's not in the original text. So I'll read it as it is in the original text. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of Yahweh, which is given me to you, Lord, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And then it skips to the fifth verse. Which in other ages were not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And the point I want to make before I begin, every word that this apostle Shaul speaks has some importance to your understanding of who you are and who God is. So many times we read through the scripture very cursively, and we have one little area of that scripture that we zero in on, and then the rest of it, it's like it's nebulous. It has no value, so we don't need to consider that. And so that is why I want to exegete from this scripture. Because the last time we met, if you remember, I said that Yahweh gave me Yohanan, the first chapter, and when I did it last time. And I questioned him. I said to him, I already know that scripture. I can say it by heart. I don't even need to look at it. Why do you want me to read it and study it? How many of you ever talked? See, sometimes you don't have enough relationship that you can talk that way to him. Hallelujah. You know, I just talk to him sometimes. I just ask why. You said this. And he said to me, I told you to read it and meditate on it. And so I said to him, well, Lord, if that's what you want, that's what I'm going to do. And so I read and meditated on it. And then I realized I was to exegete that scripture to you a few weeks ago. This scripture that I'm going to read, he gave me this scripture maybe 15 years ago. And he said to me, study and meditate on this scripture. Well, I didn't know this scripture as well as I knew the other one. So I began meditating. How many of you can hear God? So I began to meditate. Sometimes he tells you to do something that you don't understand. It's okay to ask him why. But my experience with him is that he won't go into the detail why. He just said, I told you to do it. Do it. And so he gave me this scripture and he said, meditate on this. And I began my meditation. Every night, I would read the scripture. So now I know it by heart, of course, and meditated on it. I didn't see any value in this particular scripture. But he said, meditate on it, so I meditated on it. And I want to say to you, sometimes when Yahweh speaks, you don't understand what the value is of what he's telling you to do. But if you will simply be obedient, you will find out later on why he told you to do that. And as I began to meditate on it, several things began to happen. One of the things is I began to pick up pen and paper and write. How many of you come to Sunday school? Everything you have in Sunday school was written by me over a period of a year. Because after I had thought meditating, God began to fill me with something that I could speak of. And I began to write. I wrote 3 books, which I never thought I'd do. I wrote Sunday school that would last for 2.5 years. I never stopped. I'd sit at my desk in the morning and start writing. And I'd write until I got ready to leave in the evening. Because I meditated on this particular scripture. Now, this particular scripture is a prayer. It is not a prayer that he's praying right now here, but it is a prayer that he's explaining to them that he prayed. And then later on, he gave me the revelation of the name of Yeshua. So if you will give yourself to him and stop the razzle-dazzle, you know, the shuffle dance, and really become a believer who all that you want is for his divine will to work in your life. All I want is for his divine will to work in my life. If you'll do that, he'll open up doors of utterance, of doors of entrance for you. I don't know how far I'm going to get here today because I seem to be approaching it a little slow than I normally do. But within this scripture, we're going to find about three or four things that the apostle Shaul is conveying to us. First of all, he's going to convey to us that there is a family, a heavenly family. And then he's going to convey the idea that once we're in the family, we have to start making preparation within ourselves so that we can become powerful in the family in growth. Then he is going to talk about once we prepare ourselves, then we are ready to explore the vastness of Yahweh. Because Yahweh is not surface, my brothers and sisters. He's so deep that you can't find the depth of it. So wide that you'll never find the width of it. There is no end to what we can learn in Yahweh, and you never get to the end. I have studied Yahweh's word ever since I became a believer. And that was in about 1968 or so, 69. I have studied it daily, nightly. And I want to tell you that I'm still not at the end. There's still stuff here that's still being revealed to me. See, he's here to give you whatever you need and whatever you have the depth to draw out of the word. If you don't have the depth of faith to draw something out of the word, then you will never get it. If you don't have the attention span to take your time in the word, then you will never get what it means. So starting from the 14th verse, Ephesians 3. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Yahushua Mashiach, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth his name. I want to go back to Yohanan, the first chapter, the 11th verse. It said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to be birthed into the lineage, that's the true translation, of the sons of Yahweh, even to them that believe in his name. So those that believed on him must also have believed in his name. You cannot separate the name from him. And a lot of people do that. They think they can believe on him and receive blessing from him without knowing his name. And so he says here, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Yahushua Mashiach, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And so there is a heavenly family that extends to the earth. It is a family that never was on this earth until Yeshua came. It is a new family, and we talked a bit about this last time. It is a new family, and because it is a new and different family, it must have a new and different name. Y'all not getting it, are you? And so Yohanan said he gave them power to be birthed into the lineage of the sons of Yahweh, even to them that believe in his name. Shaul says, "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Yahushua Mashiach, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." So his name is not an earthly name. His family does not have a name that came from the earth. His family have a name that came from heaven. It is a heavenly name. Look at Netanyahu. You would call it Matthew, the 18th verse. "Now the birth of Yeshua Mashiach was on this wise. When as his mother Miriam was espoused or promised to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." This man, Yosef, had to be a man of Yahweh. This young girl was promised to him through their families when he was just, and she was just a child. But before they could get married, she wound up pregnant. Now, I have talked to young women that wound up pregnant. I've talked to them in my office. And they have said to me, "Yes, I'm pregnant, but I've never went with a man." And I have said to them, "I don't know what planet you're living on. But here is a different story. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Now Joseph have to deal with this. He have to deal with this. Now I don't know about you, but if I was engaged to get married, and I found out that my fiancée was pregnant before we came together, I don't know how I'd deal with her. Well, I kind of do know how I'd deal with her. I would have dealt with her like I have dealt with everything else. And so it goes on to say in the 19th verse, "Then Yosef her husband. See, because once they were promised, it was like they were married. Yourself, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He didn't want to publicly embarrass her and her family. He didn't want to have her stoned because he was unfaithful. He was a good man. And he was going to privately say, let's just end this, and she can go her way, and I can go mine. 20 verse. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of Yahweh appeared unto him in a, it says here a dream, but change that to vision. Appeared unto him in a vision, saying, Yosef, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Miriam, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Yeshua. I know it's written Jesus here, but there is no J in the Hebrew language. There is no way for the angel of Yahweh to have said Jesus. But the enemy, knowing the importance of the name and knowing the power that those who would come to him would have through the name, when it was written in English in the King James Version of the Bible, they changed the name. Satan is smarter than most people. You'll see people say, well, the name doesn't matter. But Satan knew the name was important. And they can do all the talk they want to. They can say, hallelujah, praise your Jesus. And Satan say, amen. Because he knows they are using a name that is not the heavenly name. In fact, he can come to church and shout. Everybody say, Jesus, didn't he? Because he knows as long as they don't know the name, long as they don't know who they really are or who they are really serving, they can't do it with power. Well, help us. This is why we see the corruption of the church today. This is why we see people who call themselves Christian conservative who would lean to somebody who is corrupt and vulgar, and yet they say they have Christian values and they don't. If I had Christian values, I would never embrace a person who was corrupt and vulgar. And thou shalt call his name Yeshua, before he shall save his people from their sin. So this name is not an earthly name, but it is a heavenly name. His name was sent from his father, Yahweh, from heaven to earth and delivered by his messenger. That's what angel means, by his messenger. And the messenger says, you shall call his name Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now, because we have that information, we can understand other writings of the Bible. Look at Philippians 2. See, you can't understand Philippians 2 in the right way if you didn't have that information. 9th verse. Wherefore Yahweh also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Wherefore Yahweh has highly exalted him. How did he exalt him? He exalted him by giving him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Yeshua, every knee should bow. I have been in church with folk. They had a daily thing where they said, I'm fighting the devil. Oh, man, the devil. I'm fighting that devil. Oh, I'm fighting that devil. Well, if you had the right name, that devil had to get down on his knees. Oh, you understand where I'm coming from? There ain't no fight. When you got the heavenly name, there ain't no fight with the devil. Yeshua didn't fight with him. He says, get behind me. But because we have erroneous information, we act erroneously. And I did too. I used to be so sad. Look, I believed with all of my heart. I believed with all of my soul in the name of Jesus. And I would call on Jesus to destroy that devil. And that devil wouldn't move. And I would go, you know, and say, oh God, I know your word said that all I had to do was use your name and the devil would be dispersed. And I had so many hours of sorrow. See, when you really believe, it's supposed to work. And when it don't work, there's a lot. It's a lot of pain. And I would wonder, and I was scared to say it ain't really working, because I was scared I was going against the word. And so it caught me and a lot of others who were believers in a dilemma. We were praying about stuff, asking for stuff, never came to pass. Never happened. We say, well, I still got faith. No. No. You can't maintain faith when it's not working. When things are not working the way they're supposed to work according to the word of Yahweh, you can't maintain faith. That the name of Yeshua, every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. Nothing is left out. Things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. Well, you might say to me, well, I did use the name Yeshua, and it didn't happen for me today. Well, it didn't happen for you today because you have not been convinced yet. See, you have been convinced that that is his name. But you haven't been convinced yet that you have the authority to use that name and get results from it. Without faith, it is impossible to please Yahweh, for those that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So everything in heaven, everything on earth, and everything underneath it has to bow to this name. Now you have to grow into this. You have to grow into faith. But it's okay. Sometimes you got to move a little devil before you can move a big devil. You get what I'm trying to say? Sometimes you don't want to jump up to the big devil if you haven't had some practice with a little devil. But as you practice with little devils and experience that power with little devil, then you can have enough faith to stand up to the big devil.
Yes, sir.
And that every tongue, 11th verse, should confess that Yeshua, Mashiach, is Yahweh. This word here, Lord, but it's Yahweh. Every tongue must confess that Yeshua is Yahweh. He is God. We found out last week, last 4 weeks, he was in the beginning, not lesser or greater than Yahweh. He was Yahweh. He was not greater or lesser than Yahweh, because he was Yahweh. And it said, then the word from Yohanan wrapped himself in human flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word Yahweh wrapped himself in human flesh and became the Son. Became the Son. That's too much, isn't it? It's not too much. Okay. And every tongue should confess that he is Yahweh to the glory and honor of Yahweh, of the Father. Yahweh. You don't take no glory from Yahweh, when you confess that Yeshua is Yahweh. Because he is Yahweh. He's the same. He was the word of Yahweh in the beginning, that was not greater or lesser than Yahweh. He was Yahweh. Now, I know some of this stuff is hard to understand or hard to believe. Now, the children, say the children, the children of Yahweh must have the same name. Do that make sense? Amen. You can't call yourself a son of Will T. Washington if your name is Jones. We must have the same name. Every son and daughter of Yahweh must have the same name. So we must get that name imprinted in our life. Now, from a natural perspective, you get the name of your father when you was born, but you don't know that. Am I? Y'all get me? You don't know. You were born a Mr. Jones, but you don't know when you're born that your name is Jones. Somebody got to teach you what your name is. Because you might be in the family with Mr. Jones, and Mr. Jones might act like he's your father. But when you get a DNA check, you'll find that Mr. Jones is not your father. Somebody says trouble in the house. There's no trouble in the house. I guess I can tell this. I need to get a DNA for a purpose. But I couldn't do this purpose myself. And so they told me, you can do it through your sons. Your two sons can take a DNA test and prove this point that you're trying to make. And so my two sons did. But what would happen if one of them had to say, no, they don't match? But they did match. You see, the DNA that I have, they got to have. So the DNA of God must be in you. So how did we find out we had the name? Turn to Romans 6. Time is flying. But I'm not going to go over time. I'll just stop. You know, I'll just stop. I got stuff to do anyway. And you all do too. At the third verse, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into, what is that? Into Yeshua Mashiach were baptized into his death. We were baptized into Yeshua. And I'll show you this. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. If we are going to be born again, we need to shed the old man and take on the new. And we leave the old man in the grave. And the water is symbolic of the grave. That when we go down in the water, we are burying the old man and we are taking on a new man. Therefore, we are what? Buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Mashiach was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in what? Newness of life. Look at your neighbor and say, in those waters of baptism. Say, in those waters of baptism, I got a new name. And I rose in a new life. Hey, I'm not, I still might be Wilkie Washington in the natural. But all heaven looks at me as Yeshua. They are the sons and daughters of Yahweh in Yeshua. Whole family. Not one. Not one. But all of them. All the family have the same name. People, we are family. You know, you might be a Jones or Smith and all that in the natural, but the reality is we're a family. We're all Yeshua. And when the devil comes, and he gonna come, but he think he coming to see Ralph Jones. But when he opened the door, there Yeshua is. Oh, he said, oh, sorry, made a mistake, slammed the door. Because he can't deal with that. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Mashiach was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we should walk, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, and that word planted in the Greek is synthetos. It means to unite, to make as one, to grow together. So we are united in those waters with Yeshua. And we are one. Yeshua said unto Yahweh, behold, I and the children that you have given. The likeness of the, is that we shall also, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So if your name is not Yeshua, you will not be resurrected. But you will know that beforehand. You will know that before the resurrection, because where you went when you died, you know it wasn't heaven. And so the old folk used to sing this old song, everybody talk about heaven is not going there. There are thousands of people on this day, on a Sunday, who are going to church and they don't know his name. And so therefore they don't have it imprinted on their life, and they're waiting for the rapture. And you might say to me, as some have said to me, are you saying that you all are the only ones who are saved, with a sneer on their face? And I say to them, no. There are many like us, but you don't hear about them in the media. There are many who have believed on the name of Yeshua, but they are not popular in the secular realm. So nobody wants to talk about Yeshua in the secular. And I'm glad about that. Because one thing used to bother me is how people used to use the name of Jesus. Well, you know, I was tied in. And they would all that say things, you know, using that name. And I thought, Father, why would you let them use your name like that? You might say I'm naive, but I believe that this is true, and I believe that was his name, and I could not understand why Yahweh would allow people to use that name and play with that name. And now I know. It wasn't his name. So he don't care. People are using a lot of names. Buddha. Muhammad. He don't care. That's not His name. You know, people think Muhammad is God. God don't care. That's not his name. You see, he don't care that all them millions of people are not being saved. That land was the first land that the gospel was preached in. That land was the land that the apostles evangelized. And many were saved. And they turned from that to something that was fake. So no, I'm not saying that only I and this church is saved, or I and all of our churches throughout the United States and Africa is saved. There's many like. Galatians. Am I running out of time? It's okay. Hey. Now we were talking about the name that came from heaven. Y'all remember that, don't you? How we got it. 26th verse of Galatians 3. For ye are all the children of Yahweh by faith in Mashiach, Yeshua. Well, I guess I could turn that around and say, if you don't believe in Yeshua, you're not the sons and daughters of Yahweh. Could I do that? Could I step to that and say, you're only the sons and daughters of Yahweh if you believe in Yeshua. If you don't believe in Yeshua, you're not what? The sons and daughters of Yahweh. Do that make a lot of people mad when I say that? Of course it does. If I came to you and said to you, your name is not John. You said, but my name is John. That's my father's name. What you talking about? You'd be mad, wouldn't you? But maybe I know something you don't. You all are sons and daughters of you all are children of Yahweh by faith in Mashiach Yeshua. For as many, 27th verse, of you as have been baptized into Mashiach, have what? Have put on Mashiach. The word put on is endu in the Greek. And it's talking about putting on a garment. So you who have been baptized into Yeshua has wrapped yourself with Yeshua as a cloak. Now, you are seen no more in your actual way you look. Y'all don't get that, do you? Y'all would be surprised how you look naked and how you look with clothes on. Why he said a bad word. No, I didn't. I just made an analogy of the difference of being naked and people seeing you, and that's how you look, and having on a garment and they see. Well, I missed that one. Don't say naked no more in the church. They ain't gonna like that. Hallelujah. Well, if I was some of you, I wouldn't want to be seen naked either. Now, I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just meaning. Somebody said, we're growing up. We know what you mean. No, I don't want you to know what I mean because you think I'm saying something else. There is neither Jew or Yehudim or Greek. There is neither bond or free, talking about slave or free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Mashiach Yeshua. Oh my God. We are all the children of what? Because we have what put on. Now I told you how that happened. When we were baptized into him. So we put him what? So every demon sees us as we really are. You know, the sons of Sceva, they thought they could make a little money. And see, a lot of folks have tried to make money out of this, casting out demons. Have you seen The Exorcist and all kind of stuff folks trying to cast out demons? Well, the sons of Sceva thought, hey, people will pay a lot of money. If their sons or their daughters was, you know, possessed by a demon, and we can come in and cast that demon out, we can make a ton. You know, you can make a ton of money if you could just heal folks on the site. That big meat, just heal everybody. Big money's in that. And they got people out there on the radio, in the TV land have been making money off this for years. But the bad thing is that the person comes in a wheelchair and leaves in a wheelchair. So these sons of Sceva said, look, we can make some money. So they went in to this man who had these evil spirits, and they said, in the name of Yeshua, they didn't say Jesus, that Shaul preaches, come out of here. And they said the demon looked at him and said, I know Shaul, and I know Yeshua. But who are you? And said the demon jumped on him and tore all his clothes off of him. And they went wounded, running from the house. See, he wasn't clothed in Yeshua. So the evil spirit said, I know Yeshua. I know Shaul. But I don't know you. And because I know you are not him, I can do anything I want to you and get away with it. Back to Ephesians. Okay, it's time. I know. 16th verse. Remember, he's bowing his knees unto the Father of Yahushua Mashiach, of whom the whole family of the earth is named. Then he starts. That he would grant unto you, this is his prayer. But if you notice, his prayer is Bible doctrine, truth. That he would grant unto you according to the riches or the abundance of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. And so he says, by the abundance of his glory, that he would do something for you. But he got to say to you first, what is this glory? In the Hebrew, glory is kavod, and it means heavy. Heavy. You know how some people say, or people who are really educated, they say they're heavy. But he's heavy with honor and splendor and majesty and power. So, the glory means he's heavy in those things. Doxa in the Greek means his attributes. He is the source of all natural and spiritual power. He can be whatever he want to be. Do whatever he wants to do. Why do you think he said it? He's trying to get you to understand that if he's praying for you, that you're going to get what he's praying for, because Yahweh has everything that you need and has the power to bring it to pass. And the last scripture I'll use with you, I'm not nearly finished, it is smote, the third chapter. But that'll be the end. Smote, the third chapter. You know I'm talking about the book they call Exodus. Moshe, Yahweh was talking to Moshe, and he said to Moshe, I want you to go down to Mizraim, you call Egypt. And I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moshe said, you know, I told you sometimes I talk to God. Moshe did too. Moshe said, now wait a minute. When I go down to tell them what you said, they gonna ask me, what is his name? Isn't that strange? They're going to ask me, what is his what? They knew that was a name that had power in it. It had been prophesied that a name, a person was coming with a name that had power. And so Moshe said, they're going to ask me, what is his name? And what do I tell them? And Yahweh will respond. 13 verse. And Moshe said unto Yahweh, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your father has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And here's Yahweh's response. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, and here in the English is, I am that I am. And that's not what he did. He did not say that. Were we able to get that right? He said to Moshe, I will be that who or that which I will be. The center word, which is our share, means what, who, or that which. And the olive on the hayah means to be. The olive is a prefix that means I will. So what he said, I will be what I will be. I will be who I will be. I will be that which I will be. He said unto Moshe, I will be anything I want to be. If you need deliverance, I am deliverance. If you need hope, I'm hope. If you need healing, I'm healing. I will be whatever you need. If you need somebody to walk with you, I will be who I want to be. Hallelujah. I am that I am is not what he said. He said, I will be. So Shaul in Ephesians 3 was trying to say to them, I'm praying according to the riches of his glory. Huh? The one who has all majesty, all power, who can do anything he wants to do. He's giving them confidence that they can trust that this can happen for them. Mm-hmm. you need something today, Yahweh said, I will be there. You need help today, Yahweh said, I will be your help. If you need love today, he said, I will be love. If you need a healer today, he said, I will be your healer. If you need salvation today, he said, I will be your salvation. I'm whatever I want to be, whenever I want to be that. You just trust in me. Father Yahweh, in the mighty name of Yeshua, Mashiach, I ask that you would help us to begin to go over these waters into the new land of faith and of your word and of your spirit, that we could become the triumphant believer that your word has declared that we are. And I thank you in Yeshua, my name. Amen. Keep your head bowed. There may be somebody here today that you are not saved. You're one of them. You need God. If you're here today, he will become that you need. He will become your salvation. Why are you beating your head against the wall? Why are you holding back when there's someone that can help you? If you're here today, you raise your hand. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the good word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for the salvation that you have extended. We give you glory and honor in Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Now everybody be seated. I want to talk to you all for just a moment. Oh yeah, bring them in.